We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on, Wisconsin? Welcome back into the Bill Michaels Show. Marcus Paff sitting in the big chair today. Be back on Thursday as well. Tim Allen in the rest of the week. That'd be tomorrow and Friday if you're keeping stats at home. Radio Joe Zanzola is along for the ride, having some fun on a Tuesday. By the way, talked a lot of Brewers in hour number one, and we will have some Milwaukee Bucks conversation coming up a little bit later in the show. Want to get into Giannis and what took place in New York, taking batting practice with the New York Yankees. Very, very interesting to go to a city that is going to constantly be discussed as a landing spot for Giannis in a couple of years. I'm not saying I believe that's going to be the case, that that's ever going to happen and he's going to leave. I don't believe that to be the case, but we're going to have to endure that talk from the national media for quite some time now. All right, we're going to keep the baseball conversation rolling to open up our number two. Let's get to our insider, Adam McKelvey of MLB and Brewers.com.
Best Brewers coverage. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McKelvey. Brought to you by Concordia University Wisconsin Veterans Service Department. Dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. Go to cuw.edu/veterans. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
And of course, as always, Adam joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Adam, good to have you back. How you holding up through this tough stretch of the last 3 to 4 weeks?
Hey, I'm fine. I certainly feel everybody's pain because it's been ugly, and it's a stretch. You know, this happens often in baseball where when teams are going bad, it's not all going bad at once. It's usually one thing or the other. So over against the Giants, the bullpen gives it up. Then last night against the Braves, the pitching is pretty good, and the hitters can't do anything. So it's like they just can't click. It's like something is missing. Some of that magic from last year is missing, and I'm not able to put my finger on it. Obviously, Craig Counsell and his guys aren't able to put their finger on it either, because if they were, they would, you know, solve it. They would do something about it, and they're trying to do something about it. And as Yasmani Grandal said last night, maybe that is part of the problem, where you get into this point where you're trying a little too hard, and then that's what happens when teams slump.
Yeah, and I said it to start the show today, Adam. The fourth inning last night felt like a microcosm of the last month for this team, because you're unable to make a couple of plays. And granted, they would have been nice plays. I'm not saying they wouldn't have been, but you're unable to make a couple of plays in the field, and then Freddie Freeman makes you pay on the first pitch he sees. Then in the bottom half, you put two guys on with one out. You can't play to anybody. And I don't want to oversimplify things, but it just feels like kind of what you're saying, they're in a funk. I know that's not scientific in any way, but we're all sort of looking for answers here. And you point out the frustration of Yasmani Grandal last night. I don't want to say it concerns me, Adam, but you start to wonder, all right, at the point that when you start seeing frustration manifest itself on the field that way, we know that it's taken place with other teams in the past where things can really spiral out of control when that takes place. I think Brewers, and you correct me if I'm wrong, really need to guard against that right now and keeping that mindset clean so that they can pull themselves back out of this.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the flip side of that is sometimes, you know, I think what Grandal was trying to do was get everybody going a little bit, get a little life back. Sometimes it can work the other way, where that moment of frustration bubbling over is what can turn a team around. I don't know. I mean, if I'm Craig Counsell, I feel like I've tried some things to get this turned around. He's tried some lineup changes, you know, the stuff with moving Grandal to the top. They've tried roster moves, finally parting with Travis Shaw after his long struggles. They've tried all kinds of call-ups from AAA. Tyler Saladino, for example. I know he's not going to come up and beat Babe Ruth, but he was an all-star in the minors, really having a great offensive year, and he comes up to the majors and just can't buy a hit, even when he hits the ball hard. Like, I think it was last night he lined out to left. It's at somebody. They're in a really tough position, and a couple of weeks ago, you know, if you ask me, they're clear buyers, and I think they should have even been a team open to buying a rental, because they've got Grandal and Moustakas on one-year deals. They did not sign Dallas Keuchel or Craig Kimbrell, in part to leave some flexibility for the deadline. So there was something, not that it's like all or nothing this year for them, because they've got Yelich beyond this year. They got Kane. They've got a lot of their young pitchers who they're still high on. But just the fact that you invested in those one-year free agents, I thought, oh, you know, I could see this team bringing in a rental. My opinion on that has just totally changed, and maybe it's because you get too deep into the, you know, you get sucked into the funk yourself. And I just don't see them going for a rental right now. I think if David Stearns I still think David Stearns adds at the deadline, but I just think it's got to be a player that's part of your plan beyond this year. Now, that brings a higher prospect cost, so that makes it more challenging. I don't think they're going to be sellers, but I also don't think they're going to buy a two-month player. It feels like the wrong time to do that.
Talking to Adam McKelvey, MLB and Brewers.com. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And in hour one, we sort of waded through all of the possibilities on the opposite end of the spectrum. And it's a worst-case scenario thing. Nobody's hoping that it would take place. But what do you think it would take for them to say, Maybe not that we're going to sell, but we're just going to hold pat. We're not going to do anything at the deadline, and we're going to try to improve internally and hope for the best here while not sacrificing anything for 2020, 2021, and, of course, beyond.
Well, I have a hard time believing that they are literally going to do nothing, because we have a small number of years of David Stearns in charge, but he has been rather decisive in the three trade deadlines that he is overseen. The first year they were hard sell. They traded Lucroy, they traded Will Smith. And then the 2 years after that, 17 when they were surprisingly competitive and 18 when they were really good, he made some pretty decisive acquisitions. Anthony Swarzak was a good acquisition for them. I think that one kind of gets forgotten amid all the other trades he's done. But you think about 17, he really helped them, and Swarzak was great down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So Stearns, so far at least, he's not been caught in the middle. So I still think that they add. It's just a matter of how big of deals do they make. And, you know, the way the team is playing on the field, they're not exactly making a strong argument for David Stearns to go out and trade some of their prospect capital to help this team when it looks like there's just so many holes. And the things that stand out to me of why they're here, I don't think it's offensive. I know the numbers with runners in scoring position aren't very good, but I think if you take a look at the big picture, I don't think the problem for this team is offense. I think the problem is Corey Knebel getting hurt was absolutely huge to what the entire makeup of the bullpen is. That coupled with Jeremy Jeffress looking like he's paying a price for all those tense, fantastic lights out innings last year, and then betting on the young pitchers and kind of going 1-for-3. Woodruff's been great. Where would they be without Brandon Woodruff? But Freddie Peralta has not been a factor, and Corbin Burns has been a factor in the wrong way, which is just totally shocking based on the performance he gave him last year, what all the analytics say about how good he is. Even with this, just look at it. Look at his numbers. Look at the strikeouts to innings. I mean, he should be a very good pitcher, and he's not. Those elements of the pitching, not to mention Jolie Chassin having a huge regression year. It's just, there have been so many bad things that have happened in the pitching that the couple of good things haven't overtaken those. And I think that explains as much as anything of why they are where they are. And, you know, again, to get back to the deadline, does adding a piece or two fix what's going on. And mm-hmm. I think it's hard to argue that it would. And yeah, that puts David Stearns in a very tough spot.
No, absolutely. And I've said that for several weeks. It feels like they're at least probably 2 to 3 moves, if not more, away from being on par with, let's talk about the class of the NL, the Braves and the Dodgers right now. And if your goal is the World Series, which I think that's how everybody's thinking about it, that's a really tall hill to climb right now. I wanted to ask you about Burns because, like you, I mean, I'm astounded. I think everybody is. He lands on the 10-day IL with what the team has termed right shoulder irritation. What's the long-term prognostication for Burns right now, Adam? Because last year he was, in so many ways, considered an untouchable in trade talks. We heard all these reports that teams were asking about him. The Brewers didn't want to deal him. You understand why. His stuff still looks fantastic, but he can't get guys out, and he's been prone to the home run. Do they still feel good about what his long-term play looks like, whether that's as a starter or in the bullpen?
Yes, and they should. There's nothing certain in this game. This is a weird sport, and it is so hard to predict, especially for young pitchers. But, I mean, he is a fantastic pitching prospect who is having an out-of-this-world terrible year. And I don't think what's happening to Corbin Burns this year represents what he's going to be in the future. And I don't think I'm being rose-colored glasses too close to the team guy in saying that. The stuff, what you hear from scouts, again, what you see in the numbers in terms of the strikeouts, when you see an outing like the one in Cincinnati in relief where he comes in, and it's just like, you don't need to be a pitching coach or a huge baseball fan to look at the stuff he was throwing at the Reds and be like, oh, my God. He's a good pitcher. He's going to be a good starting pitcher. He's having a horrible year, and it's happening at a terrible time for a team in terms of its competitive window. But that's the game. He's not the first one to have that happen, too. Ned Yost, for years and years, would talk about Tom Glavine, and you watch Tom Glavine at the front end of his career, and you thought, this guy is going to be mentally scarred for life. But Tom Glavine ended up being a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. So, please don't translate that to me saying Corbin Burns is going to be a Hall of Famer. But I think Corbin Burns is going to be very good. It's just not happening on the timetable that anyone expected. Again, based on the performance last year where he pitched himself into huge spots. He can do this. He can pitch in really important spots. He's got the stuff to do it, and it's not happening. And look, I know there's, myself skeptical about the a guy gets hit the way he did, and then the next day he's hurt. That's plenty fair to be skeptical of that. Right. But look, he says he's been feeling something between outings recently. He dealt with it earlier in the year between starts, and was able to pitch through it. And, guys pitch through stuff all the time. So I think you could put anybody on this roster on the injured list because they've all got something that's hurting. Watch guys walk around the clubhouse. This is a tough time of year. So I don't doubt that there's something physical going on there. And if there is something physical going on there, at least it helps explain how he could go, even from recent outings, really good. The slider was so good. That outing in Cincinnati, not to beat a dead horse, but – man, that was good stuff. And then for it just to be gone, at least if he's dealing with a little something in the shoulder, it explains where the finish went on his slider, and it gives you some modicum of hope that if with a little bit of rest, he can get back to giving them something, because it just feels like he's a guy with how much they invested in him going into the year. They got to get something from him down the stretch if they're going to be any good.
Yeah, it's perplexing, but You feel like they are committed to him as a starter still moving forward.
If we're talking about just long term, I don't think that's this year. I just don't think there's time to get there, and there's not a reason to go there because of what he's shown you so far this year. But long term, I think he is, a middle of the rotation at worst, and a guy who's going to be a good pitcher in the major leagues. I really believe that, and again, I don't think that's rose-colored glasses. I think that's just based on the evidence, the glimpses he shows you. This guy's a good pitcher, and developing pitching prospects is really hard and painful and messy. It doesn't happen on the timetable always that fits what's going on with the rest of the team. But patience will be rewarded for the Brewers or somebody with Corbin Burnes based on the stuff.
He's Adam McKelvey, MLB and Brewers.com. Adam, pleasure. Appreciate the time today. And I hope next time that we're chatting that the crew has found themselves out of this rut and it's an entirely different conversation. Thanks a bunch, man.
Yep. See ya.
All right. Adam joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80 plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. All right. We'll come back. I want to react a little bit to what Adam had to say about Corbin Burnes. Long term, still a starter in this organization. Give you my thoughts. We'll get Joe's as well and take your calls. It's the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the Bill Michaels Show. Marcus Papp sitting in for Bill today, Radio Joe Zanzola alongside. My thanks to Adam McKelvey, who joined us to open up our number two. And Adam, like so many of us, Joe, is struggling to find answers. I was going to be shocked if he had the magic potion when he jumped on with us. But, you know, I'm looking at this, and I know Adam said, well, you could look at it one of two ways. Perhaps the frustration is something that could kickstart them. I guess it could, but I've seen it too many times where frustration boils over and things spiral out of control. So in thinking about this, I just hope, and I like what Yasmani Grandal had to say after the game, and we'll hear from him here shortly, but I liked what he had to say, admitting the mistake, moving on from it, saying he wants to act better, be better about that, rather than doubling down, because as we all know, that it was a strike. So be better about it. Try to avoid it happening next time, because the more that you see this manifest itself, this frustration manifest itself on the field, I think the worse off the Brewers are going to be moving forward right now.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes you need a little yelling and screaming to energize a clubhouse. I learned that a long time ago with Prince Fielder, and you know, some of the tirades he would have, because yeah, you know, Prince was just such a passionate guy, and he was so serious about winning. And you never ever wanted to question his will to win. That's who Prince was. And, you know, he got into some bad moods, and that kind of kicked the clubhouse in the butt a little bit, and they were able to play better baseball. Maybe that approach still works. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe Yasmani Grandal going off and screaming and using profanities at the ump last night, maybe that won't help anything at all. But I don't know what has to change here. I mean, we're running out of ideas and thoughts.
And time.
Right.
And time.
Yeah.
You get 2 weeks to figure this out to determine whether or not you're going to make a move, sit pat, or actually sell some assets off.
People, it's just, you know, the whole talking point of, well, you know, it's still a long season. We still got a long way to go here. That talking point really is irrelevant now because there's only one trade deadline. You can't make any more moves in August. This is completely different now. So it's now or never. And every team knows that in 2 weeks, you have to decide whether or not you're in it to win it, or it's just time to regroup and focus on next season. And that's what it is. So every series now from here on out in these 2 weeks are more important than ever. And teams have to find their identity. We're seeing the Cardinals. They've been able to rattle off three straight wins. We saw the Chicago Cubs come off of a sweep against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The San Francisco Giants, courtesy of the Milwaukee Brewers, are playing better baseball. They put up 19 runs yesterday against the Colorado Rockies. So teams and the Giants are there's been all this talk that they're going to be sellers, but Bruce Bochy doesn't want to do that. Bruce Bochy feels like he can compete with all these other teams. So all these games, every game here on out here in the 2 weeks is important. And I don't know what the Brewers have to do here to right the ship. I just don't know.
Well, there's a couple of things to keep in mind here. Number one, I agree with you. There is a time where frustration or voicing your opinion in a loud manner, for lack of a better term, is the right way to go. But it's a fine line, and it all depends on how your teammates interpret that. Maybe with Yasmani Grandal, they see it, they understand it, and they're motivated by it. And if that's the case, then it was the right play. Now, as far as the next 2 weeks, you point out San Diego. You look at the National League right now, and this is the problem. Everybody thinks they're in it because they kind of are. I mean, there's like two teams that you really look at and go, all right, they're going to sell. Miami and the New York Mets right now. Miami's 22 games out of first in the NL East. The Mets are 15 back, and I believe, looking at this, about six back in the wild card hunt as well. So it's not going to help them. 5.5 as of today, but they'd have to jump literally everybody else in the National League outside of Miami to get there. So when you're talking about it being a seller's market, that's another thing that you have to keep in mind if you're David Stearns, is now the right time to potentially try to, you to use the stock market adage, buy low, sell high, and reap the benefits of it. Again, this is only if they don't play well or they continue on this downward trajectory for the next 2 weeks. If they play well, then certainly you can go out there and add a piece. I don't think that one or two pieces are going to get you to the World Series. I don't know how many times I can say that, but it's the nature of the beast right now. And I don't think that if they are at least in the hunt to get to the postseason, that Mark Attanasio would let that opportunity pass them by, because as they say, baseball is a funny game. You never know what could happen with the Dodgers or Braves, injuries, things of that nature. So you go from there. Now, the other thing that Adam McKelvey brought up that we will get into more in hour number three as well, Joe, is Corbin Burnes and the fact that this team is still committed to him, according to Adam, long-term as a starter. And I don't have a problem with that. I think that's probably the best route to go. We saw him be very effective as a starter throughout his minor league career. He came up, was only operating out of the bullpen last year because you had starters that were working out. You weren't going to thrust a minor league guy into that role at season's end, but pitched in high leverage situations. It feels like he's taken every logical progression, every logical step to get here. And then he ran into this massive wall this year that he needs to find a way around. I'm still of the mindset that you watch him pitch, you watch the stuff. And if he can just be a little bit better, he could be dominant. Most notably, not grooving 0-2 pitches to good hitters, which he's done countless times in the last couple of weeks. But I'm actually encouraged to hear Adam say that, because for a period of time, I thought, all right, this was probably his one opportunity, and now they're going to make him a bullpen arm, and he may not be able to maximize him in that role.
Yeah, and I agree 100% with Adam McKelvey when he said that, you know, look, he's capable of doing this. He's capable of getting the job done because he was able to do it last season in big situations down the stretch, both in September and in the postseason. So I do not doubt the ability of Corbin Burnes. What I suggest is once this shoulder issue gets right, he needs to be in AAA, and he should be in AAA until further notice, and I'm stretching him back out as a starting pitcher, and I'm going to work him out down there, because really at this point, why not? He is a liability. Right now,
100%.
If the Brewers are this serious, if they want to be buyers, Corbin Burnes cannot be on this 25-man roster because he is hurting them in big ways. And that Giants game on Sunday, you were in a position to have a chance, a legitimate chance, at winning that game and taking 2 out of 3 and moving on and taking that momentum against the Braves. And instead, Corbin Burnes blows up, and he told McKelvey yesterday that this shoulder issue was kind of bothering him going all the way back before the All-Star break. And he thought if he would just rest, he'd feel better. And then he started to feel it again on Sunday while he's out there pitching. And my concern with that was, well, if he started to feel that early on while he was throwing the ball, he should have been signaling to counsel to say, hey, get me out of here, I'm hurting. And instead they left him in there and he gives up 4 runs.
Yeah. I don't understand the whole injury thing, because I had a friend, a baseball fan, not a Brewers fan, but he texted me the other day. So follows all teams to a certain extent. He said, hey, what's going on with Corbin Burnes? Is it possible that he's hiding an injury? And at the time, I dismissed it. I said, no, I don't see any way that that's happening. He's been out there. His stuff looks good. in terms of velocity, and it has. It's looked fine from that standpoint, and he's been back and forth between AAA this year. You would think that if there was a real injury there, that somewhere along the line, either it would have been discovered or he would have admitted it for the betterment of the team. So, frankly, I mean, if it comes down to it that he has been injured all season, I'm going to find that really, really frustrating, the fact that you didn't admit that sooner or wasn't discovered sooner, because ultimately, it has done nothing but hurt the Brewers to trot him out there right now. Anyway, we'll get back into this because I want a couple burns, of course, with Freddie Peralta. I don't know that that's fair, but it feels like those two guys are maybe not forever, but certainly linked for the time being because of what was expected of them coming into this season with Brandon Woodruff, Woodruff being the only one that has delivered thus far. But coming up, all right, the new Madden ratings are out. I want to talk a little football. What do they actually mean to you as a Packer fan? Because not all of them are super kind to the Green Bay Packers, most notably Aaron Rodgers. I'll tell you what I mean by that. When we come back, Marcus Papp in for Bill Michaels, Radio Joe here as well on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders. They have a 98% success rate, all but guaranteeing the fact that they can fix you, help you with your problem. And if you're feeling moody or sluggish or run down, no stamina, no energy, they can help you out there as well. Just stop in and get your numbers checked for low T. It takes about 10, 15 minutes, and they can help you out almost right then and there, right on the spot, at least set you up with a program. And if you're looking down right now and you're thinking, man, I need to lose a few pounds or jumpstart the new health and wellness system, that's the way to do it. Go to Neumel Medical. Call the medical experts over at Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the Bill Michaels Show. Bill out today. And for the rest of the week, I'll be back on Thursday. Tim Allen going to be filling the chair tomorrow and on Friday. So we'll be getting to spend a little bit of time together over the next few days. Looking forward to that. Joe, I have a story that I want to share. Is that okay? Can we do that now?
Story time with Marcus. I like it.
Yes. So I feel like I'm going to feel better sharing this with the state of Wisconsin. So as you know, Joe, last week I was out at the Las Vegas Summer League taking in some Milwaukee Bucks games and a little bit of basketball. That's a little bit of downtime for me. I go out every year. I love the event. Now, as you probably also know, an earthquake took place at that point in time. I was on the 10th floor of the Fremont Hotel in downtown Las Vegas, and I feel like every night I go to sleep now, I cannot shake that feeling of the building moving back and forth by about 2 feet at the time I felt that, and racing down the stairs, hoping that this 100-year-old building, I know that's an exaggeration, didn't fall down. Have you ever been in an earthquake, Joe?
Never in my life. I've never felt anything. Because we're not either. Near a plate where we are. We're right. Nowhere close. My understanding is in St. Louis, there's a small plate, and every now and again, they get a little bit of a rumble.
But did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. But beyond that, I have never experienced it. I've been out west many times, and I always feel like every time I go out there, it would be my luck that there'd be some ridiculous earthquake that would happen. But no, it's never happened. I've never experienced it.
Yeah, it's wild. And I, of course, had never experienced it growing up in Wisconsin, spending the majority of my life there as well. But when you're on the 10th floor, I started thinking after the fact, I'm going, can you imagine if you were on the top of the Stratosphere? And people that have been to Vegas know what I'm talking about. It's the tallest building west of the Mississippi. It's basically a big needle, and there are rides at the top. The swings that fly out over the strip. Can you imagine being on that ride and that building starts to sway a couple of feet? Like, I'm freaking out thinking about this, Joe. Like, legit. I mean, I honestly, I hope I never experience that again, but it was pretty funny that it all took place. Then I went downstairs probably a half hour later. We ran down, went back up to the room after it was done. I got dressed, went back down. I wanted to see if anything took place. And Vegas was operating like nothing had ever happened.
Of course. That doesn't surprise me. So, I mean, there wasn't any damage in your room or down in the lobby or in the casino.
Nothing noticeable, but here's what I'm thinking too. I'm going, all right, so did we bring in like a team of engineers to look at all these buildings and make sure that there isn't something internal? Because, you know, I don't know what the structural integrity looks like on the inside, especially for those buildings in the downtown portion that have been there since the before the Rat Pack days. Like, I would feel better if somebody came in and had a look at this and gave me the okay. Somebody who's a lot better at math and engineering and things of that nature than I am. But no, from what I gather, they just keep going about their business and hope that nothing falls down. So it's a way to go, man.
Jeez.
It's a way to go.
I always fear, like, you know, especially at McCarran International, you know, with all the planes that are taking off and landing, can you imagine being on a plane as you're ready to land and an earthquake happens, or as you're ready to take off?
Oh, that's insane to think. Yeah, if you were touching down right at that time. Whoa. And it was weird because I watched the Dodger game was obviously shown a lot. They experienced it in L.A. too, and the players kept playing. They didn't feel anything. Yeah. Which was crazy because the press box guys were saying, how are they continuing to play baseball right now? But I had to say that because it's my own form of therapy after all of that I hopefully don't continue to wake up in the night hoping that my room is not shaking back and forth because I live on the first floor. So that's at least I've got that going for me.
Which is nice.
Yeah, which is nice. Thank you, Carl Spackler. all right. I want to get into this Madden thing, but I feel like I've killed all our time by having a therapy session for myself here. So let's hold up. We'll come back. I want to get into the Madden rating specifically from a Packer perspective. We'll use that to segue into more Packer talk. The 18-game schedule, the topic that will never go away, never die, because the owners will never allow it to die, is here as well. We'll get into that as we wrap up Hour 2. By the way, Matt Velasquez to kick off Hour 3 talking some Bucks basketball here on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
What's going on, Wisconsin? Welcome back to the Bill Michaels Show. Marcus Papp sitting in the big chair. Not literally, but, you know, figuratively. Bill's out today. He's out all week. Joe Zanzola, Radio Joe, is here as well. And I had teased this earlier, so let's jump into this as we wrap up hour number two. We'll get into some Bucks basketball to start hour three. Joe, were you a video game player growing up?
Oh, I was.
And did you tend to gravitate towards sports games, or were you a fan of all genres?
I played everything from growing up, a lot of racing games. I was big into the first-person shooter games. And then sports games as well. A lot of the Madden games I had for Nintendo 64 and for PlayStation 2 and PS3. I've played a lot of stuff. It is crazy the collection of video games I have from all those game systems over essentially a decade.
Yeah, and I ask you this with purpose because I have found, and I share this with you off the air, I have found over the years of doing radio that there are two things that frankly surprised me when I first talked about it. Two things that always seem to generate a response from people, and that is video games and professional wrestling. And I know that probably doesn't apply to everybody. Of course it doesn't. But for a lot of guys, there seems to be a certain nostalgia value to that. And I would argue that Madden is right there chief among all of them. And we bring that up because, of course, the Madden ratings or rankings, player overall ratings, I guess, is the best way to describe that, were released today. And it has caused seemingly quite a stir of stories within the media about such things. I'm curious to know, and I throw this out there to the audience, does it matter to you where guys on your team rate in the Madden video game? It's become such a part of the culture now, it's almost associated hand in hand with the actual team itself. And for some context here, Aaron Rodgers, you might be surprised to know that he ranks 7th out of all quarterbacks in the National Football League. And I kicking myself for saying that. I'm never one to say National Football League over NFL. Aaron Rodgers, seventh overall, and these are the guys ahead of him. Patrick Mahomes, okay, young quarterback. You could probably make that argument. He's a 97 tops overall. Tom Brady's 1 point off at 96. I'm guessing, Joe, that irks the entire city of Boston off and probably all of New England. Philip Rivers, 94. He's third. Then it's Drew Brees and Andrew Luck at 92. Russell Wilson at 91. And then Aaron Rodgers at 90. A lot of people probably say, big deal, I don't care, it's a video game. But I think for some people, and I'm just guessing here, they find that a little bit insulting. Does it matter to you where Packers rate in this particular game? And I think this game more than anything else, because for whatever reason, it's taken on a life of its own.
No, I mean, it doesn't really bother me. To me, the way I look at it, it's just a ranking. It's another person or people, because I'm sure when they're making these Madden games every single year, they're probably going to have many consultants when putting together a football game. I'm sure there's a lot of input there. I don't think it's just one guy that might be coming up with these ratings. But this, to me, this isn't any different from, you know, a national writer who covers the NFL putting out their rankings for the best quarterbacks and the best running backs. So when I look at this, yeah, I think it's a little ridiculous that Aaron Rodgers is ranked seventh. I think he's better than Russell Wilson. I think he's better than Andrew Luck. I think he's better than Philip Rivers. And I think he's even better than Tom Brady. And, you know, you can make the argument between him and Drew Brees for number two. I think entering the season, I think Pat Mahomes is the best talented quarterback as of right now. But I also talked about this yesterday in a buy or sell. You know, Aaron Rodgers being the MVP again, can he do it? I think he can, as long as he stays healthy. I think that's very possible. It's hard to doubt the abilities of Aaron Rodgers. So I disagree with him getting an overall rank of 90 and being the seventh best quarterback in the league. I don't agree with that. I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think I'm going to not stop playing Madden because they put Aaron Rodgers down. And you know what? I think a lot of people, Marcus, do care about this. Perfect example. Did you see Aaron Jones yesterday on Twitter?
No. What did Aaron have to say?
Okay, so Aaron Jones saw rankings for the top 25 running backs through Madden.
Uh-oh.
Aaron Jones wasn't even listed in the top 25. They went through the rankings, and they had, I got the list here, Todd Gurley had the highest rating at 97, and then the top five included Zeke Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, Gordon, Saquon Barkley. That was your top five. Aaron Jones wasn't even in the top 25, so he made a little sleepy emoji comment, like, you know, I'm going to be a sleeper this year. And then he tweeted at EA Madden. He said, I don't disagree with those ratings, just the overall rating, ... but I'll prove it this season. Thank you. And you saw 6,000 people like that tweet from Aaron Jones. And I guarantee you the majority of them were Packer fans that cared.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I bring it up. I know some people are going, who gives a you know what?
Right.
But yeah. Others, other people clearly get up for this when we're discussing it in social media forums, most notably. And by the way, you can tweet at 105.7 FM The Fan to sound off on this as well, if you will. Jeremy says, no, Madden is almost always wrong anyway. Jack says, part of me thinks that it's done purposely. I don't disagree with that at all. I think a lot of this is done to spark conversation because, let's face it, conversation about the Madden video game is, by its very nature, it's just promotion. All we're doing is getting people pumped up for the game right now and talking right about it at the same point. So people are going to go out and get it. And in today's day and age as well, you have the internet updates that come as the season goes along. So Aaron Rodgers is likely going to move up the list, or knock on the wood in front of me that he moves up the list this year as the Packers are playing good football. But I still think Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson confuse me a little bit, that you'd throw him behind those two guys. Luck in particular, because the guy's been hurt for so long. I know that he's a talented guy when things are going right, but man, they haven't necessarily been going right for some time. Maybe he will bounce back in a big way this year too and build off of last season. For what it's worth, David Bakhtiari is the top left tackle in the game, 97 overall rating. And then as far as Packers go, Bakhtiari is the top. Devontae Adams in at number 92. Kenny Clark at a 90, tied with Aaron Rodgers. So Yeah, I would, looking at those four guys, and we'll talk more traditional Packers football here real soon, Joe, but I think those are four guys that you are reliant upon to have very big seasons for you this upcoming season. With that, we will wrap up the hour. Matt Velasquez is going to join us to kick off hour three, talk some Bucks basketball, the offseason to this point, maybe look back on the Summer League a little bit as well, and of course, the celebration for Giannis on Sunday. Marcus Pfaff in for Bill Michaels. Radio Joe's here as well. It's the Bill Michaels Show.
In Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.